everybody. It is noontime here in Maine, but out where my guests are, it's 9 in the morning. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks so much for listening today. We have a nice show on STEM. Okay, the STEM Learning Ecosystems Initiative. Big shout out to Claire LeBeau for helping me set up the show, which I really appreciate. We got some nice guests talking about creating a partnership of the entire STEM community to bring about STEM education. It's really good stuff, and we're going to have a good time on the show, so I'm looking forward to it. We're going to archive the show, education-talkradio.org. We'll tweet it out over at EduTalk Radio. You can friend us on Facebook at EduTalk Radio as well. And if you're interested in accessibility, compliance, and equity in education, go over to our website, ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. It's our new magazine, digital publication and website. It'll be up and running very, very soon. First issue of the magazine will go out June 4th. Free subscription. Go over to the website, ace-ed.org, and go over to the contact page. Scroll down. Put your email in. We'll make sure you get it. We won't share your email with anybody. ace-ed.org. And thanks to all those people who have signed up already. We are looking forward to a great run with this thing. All right. Without further ado, let me bring on my guest, Gerald. Welcome back, Gerald Solomon.
Good to talk to you again, Larry. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay. Hope you're doing well, too.
I am.
Good man. Okay, remember the last time I couldn't pronounce it either.
Yeah.
Samueli Foundation,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. There you go. Samueli, that'll work.
Was that good? S-A, like,
yeah,
Samuel.
Good.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
Samuel with an I at the end, okay? And you're the co-founder of the STEM Learning Ecosystems, all right, initiative.
Right.
We've got, I think Ron just joined. Ron, are you there? Ron? Call it Larry to Ron. Come in, Ron. Is he supposed to be there? Ron?
Gerald? Yeah, I think he was, but maybe he's having difficulty. But I know Jan's on the phone.
Oh, wait, maybe I have. Wait, I forgot to open up his line. That's why he's not answering. Ron, are you there?
I am here.
I apologize. I forgot to open up your line.
No problem. Can
you
hear me okay?
I can hear you perfectly. And welcome to the show, Mr. Executive Director of STEM Next. Okay,
right.
And co-founder of STEM Learning Ecosystems, Ron Ottinger. And we have the amazing Jan. Hi, Jan.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Jan Morrison's president and CEO. I don't know what this is. You're going to tell us. The Teaching Institute for Excellence in STEM. Thank you for another acronym, TIES, T-I-E-S. Okay.
We didn't have it any other way than just having acronyms, correct?
We have to have it. It's education. Well, let's go backwards here, okay? Jan, tell us what the Teaching Institute for Excellence in STEM is.
We are a company that was formed 15 years ago in order to help children to make sense of the world, to provide the kind of teaching and learning in STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math for your community that might still not be quite aware of what the acronym does mean, and with the idea that the engagement that we have moving ahead for kids couldn't be just an education program, couldn't be just that schools were charged with science and with the teaching of mathematics, but it has to be around problem solving, and it has to be engaging so that they can be able to join the workforce at the end of their education and begin a lifetime of education. And our organization has been building STEM schools to teach everybody how best to do that and all kinds of things,
both
here in the U.S. and in globally.
Wonderful, wonderful, good stuff. 15 years old, 2 years past their bar mitzvah.
Yeah, and it feels just
Mazel
like
tov.
That. I'm going to tell you, exactly like that.
And by the way, it's TIES, like the necktie, T-I-E-S, teach.org, everybody.
Right.
Yeah, TIESteach.org. All right, and then Ron, who's the executive director of STEM Next. What's that, Ron? Ron Ottinger.
Okay. Hi, good
Here
morning,
we go.
Everyone.
Good morning. I can tell Ron's nervous. Don't be nervous.
No, I'm not nervous.
35,000 people listening. Don't worry about it.
Oh, good. And growing, I'm sure.
I'll make you feel more at ease. Spell chrysanthemum.
And I'm sure it's growing too. So I was the executive director of the Noyce Foundation, founded in the memory of Robert Noyce, the co-founder of Intel. And after the foundation sunset at the end of 2015, they spun out the work we've been doing across the country, building STEM learning into after school, out of school, and informal spaces, and then linking to schools through the ecosystem initiative over the last decade plus.
Right. STEM Next, everybody. STEMNext.org. Oh, you didn't get my joke about spelling chrysanthemum to make you less nervous.
I did. And by the way, all three of us are Jewish on the phone, so we got your...
There you go. Mazel tov. Mazel tov.
Mazel
tov. Great. Little fiddler on the roof there. Actually, in a big community production, I played Laser Wolf the Butcher.
There you go.
That's
there
not
go.
An enviable character to be. You didn't
no, it was fun to play, though.
To life.
Hi, that was my big number. But long time
that's
ago.
Great.
Okay, big production, though. All right, and Gerald, okay, let's hear about the Samueli Foundation. I tried again with the Samueli. Could you do this easier?
You did it well. Simply put, Henry and Susan are the principals. Henry founded a company called Broadcom, and one of our major focus areas is STEM and workforce development and learning opportunities for all people, irrespective of gender, color, or other diversity issues.
Hear, hear. That's wonderful. And, you know, you're all, I think all three of you are in California, right?
No.
Two of us.
I'm in beautiful, foggy Cleveland, Ohio today.
Magnificent city. Rock and Roll Hall
it
of
is.
Fame.
It
but
is.
Are you usually, yeah.
I'm in San Diego, and Gerald's in Orange County.
Okay. Jan, are you in Cleveland? Are you headquartered in Cleveland?
Yes, we're headquartered in Cleveland.
Okay.
Yeah.
My apologies. The weather is always more beautiful in Cleveland than in California. So. I should watch the weather more often. Okay, I'm glad we got Cleveland, Ohio on the air here. Okay, now, Gerald, okay, so the STEM Learning Ecosystem Initiative. All right. What's the STEM learning ecosystem? Let's just start right there. What's going on? You got two great groups here. Two
sure.
people who are really interested, and you got more. You got more groups that obviously aren't here. Talk about what it is. The STEM learning ecosystem.
In simple terms, in simple terms, Larry, it's about how do you get all the community stakeholders together to look at how students learn, how education systems teach, and how workforce pipelines are developed. Think of it by analogy like a car. If you wanted a car to run optimally, all the different components from the wheels to the tires to the steering wheel to the pistons, whatever it may be, all need to be working and all need to be working together. That's how we think about how kids learn and how workforce gets developed.
Okay. And it's interesting you're saying this. I've done a number of shows this week. Two of them, one with the Maryland Business Roundtable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for education, I might add. And then one I did yesterday with the Janesville, Wisconsin schools, the superintendent, Steve Poffel. Okay, and they're talking the exact language.
Right.
Okay, that STEM learning is great. Okay, it is great for what it is. All right, but we're trying to prepare a workforce out here and more, not only for the companies, but so the kids have a place to go. And I think working all together okay, makes sense. So I'm going to stay with Gerald for a second. Gerald, so have you called all the STEM organizations together, or is that the idea, or are you getting business involved? Just talk about the whole ecosystem there.
Sure. So you get all of the key people together. If you think of it as a holistic system, you need workforce, and workforce has to inform education. So you bring post-secondary, community college, you bring in K-12, you bring in early learning. You bring in youth development organizations, you bring in science centers after school, you put them at a table, and through Jan's wonderful work, it ties what you do is you design. We create a new architecture. We create a different platform on how the community thinks about how it educates its citizenry to build a STEM-skilled workforce.
And how do you get
random
that out
access,
there? How do you get the... How do you get the community involved? You've got these groups together. business, schools, organizations like Jans and Rods. You get them together. Now you got to tell the community. And, Gerald, I just want to stick with you. How's that part working?
Well, first of all, you got to address what you just thought about, which was what's in it for everyone. Everyone's enlightened self-interest. And everyone has a reason to be there. And when you all recognize that the random acts of STEM, although good, are not good enough anymore, and you've got to integrate it into a system in an architecture that can really help a community thrive. And once people start talking about it, they understand that that's what needs to be done for their community to develop.
I couldn't agree more with you at all. And we got to get this working and working across the board. Are you looking for more organizations to come into the group, or what's the goal here per se, to get more organizations in, like the Maryland Business Roundtable, which I just did a show with? Okay, them. Are you looking for more STEM organizations? Are you looking for more school districts? What's the step here?
All the above. We have an application process. We're in our fourth year, and you can go on to our website. We have 56 communities now. We already have about 30 that have expressed an interest for year four. And if you went to stemecosystems.org, you can find out all the information you need in order to begin the process.
Right. And again, everybody, it's stemecosystems, just like it sounds, .org. And then also the Twitter is stemecosystems. Okay? Just as it sounds, everybody. And you should go over there and check it out. There's 56 of them. Does that mean that there's 56 cities involved? I'll ask Ron, I'll go to you. Okay? You're one of the organizations. Okay? Are there 56, I'll call it cities, involved, or 56 school districts? Or what's that 56 break down to?
Well, the STEM Next Opportunity Fund is a venture philanthropy and funder, just as the Sam Welly Foundation is. And we're happy to be partners with Sam Welly and other both corporate and private foundation funders supporting this effort nationally. You know, the big idea, as Gerald well described, is to really change the way kids experience STEM learning both in and out of school. So many kids are bored with STEM learning in school, unfortunately. And so, you know, if we can find ways to get kids excited about STEM learning in an after-school or out-of-school program, our hope is, and we're starting to see that in the ecosystems, that kids will pay more attention to their STEM classes in school. In each of the ecosystems, some are cities. You know, Cleveland is one of them, Los Angeles, Chicago, Boston. You know, we've got Providence. We've got cities throughout the country that are engaged. But some are also rural, such as in Maine, such as in Carbon County, Pennsylvania. And some are regional, such as Upper Midlands in Michigan, where the Dow Corporation is located and supporting that ecosystem.
Well,
and then there are a handful that are statewide, such as in North Carolina and Indiana. So we have ecosystems across the country. There's a great map of the ecosystems on stemecosystems.org and little descriptions of what each are doing on that site.
Cool. That's great. I am on where's the map on the on the website? I'm on the website right now. Gerald, do you know? Or whoever? Does anybody know? About? FAQs?
Yep.
It's a good website.
Good question.
I can't find the map.
Yeah, you just scroll down.
It's here
down
somewhere.
And you'll...
Yeah, no, it's under...
Thank you, Jan. Jan's so smart. Oh, there it is, right there on the front
page.
Yeah, just
scroll down.
Just scroll down. There. Thank you. And I see you're up in down East Rockland, Maine. That looks like about where you are. Right.
And you can see the different colors of the dots are the different cohorts or of ecosystems. We're now, as Gerald said, about to enter our fourth. So each of the dots are the different cohorts 1, 2, or 3 years into the initiative.
This is great. And by the way, the one in Boston, I live in Maine, the one in Boston is called BoSTEM. BoSTEM,
right.
Not Boston,
right.
BoSTEM.
Right.
I like that. Not bad. Okay. And then the other one, which I said was Rockland, I was close. It's in Machias, Maine, which none of you ever heard of. But so help me God. Okay. So, and don't go. And as much as wonderful as I'm sure they are, don't go and don't go visit them in February. Trust me. Trust me. And Jan, I know you were a teacher, right?
Yes, for 35 years.
Wow. Okay. And that's amazing. So you started when you were 11. That's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
know.
Great. Congratulations.
Okay. Thank you.
And you're welcome. Okay. And what did you teach?
Well, I taught STEM subjects. I came into the world teaching biology and then started to include physics and worked my way through in mathematics as well and did a lot of designing of courses as well that crossed across those disciplines.
Well, then I'm going to. So, were you teaching in Ohio, in Cleveland schools, or?
I taught a little bit in Cleveland, but we in my adult life we moved all over the world. So I got the enviable job of being in wonderful schools all over, and taught as much middle as I did high school, and also headed middle schools and high schools as principal.
That's very cool. And the reason I was asking all that, I was wondering if you were involved in it, because it's a good example of an urban district is Cleveland, okay? And, like every school district in the world, they're fighting for dollars,
right.
And you work there. Yeah, and I'm curious, Ron said the kids are bored with STEM, and it has, to a certain extent, become commonplace, which is not good, okay? It used to be the big word, and it still is, but, it becomes a more common word these days. As you go around with your Teaching Institute for Excellence in STEM, TISteach.org, again, okay, what are you finding, okay, in terms of STEM education? Because you have a long background in this, and you're in Cleveland, which is the great urban district. Go ahead.
So it depends on who you're talking to. If you walk into a school and you sit in the cafeteria with the children and you spend time with them and listen to what's on their mind, they're worried about the earth. They're worried about their communities. They're eager to learn how to solve problems. They want to know what it's going to take in the way of skills and competencies and what they're doing and how their school can help them to reach that, how their after-school programs are helping them not only to enjoy and to learn, but to make it so that they are more and more confident about looking at these issues and problems and feeling that it is theirs. It's theirs to innovate. It's theirs to work in groups. It's theirs to do some critical thinking. And that's who they are. They aren't really the system. They are the community, and their families are. And that's what the Ecosystem Project really is predicated on. It's how do we as bureaucracies, as groups, as organizations, learn to create a single drive to answer those questions for those kids. That's what we hear. They want to know things. They also feel that the adult world has mucked it all up and that it's theirs to inherit, and they really want to do something about it. That kind of motivation, that kind of drive and energy is only positive. They know what STEM is. They understand that it isn't just disciplines in a classroom, as Ron put it, that it is something that's important to their whole lives. And that's where the energy for all of us comes from. So when we're working with districts like Cleveland's district, or we're working with Tulsa Public or with San Diego's multiple districts there, it's always the same thing with you want to bring the kids to their potential and help the educators both in and out of school to understand their new role in enabling that.
And you made the point perfectly, because it was interesting. Ron said before that, the kids are getting a little bit bored with STEM, so to speak. Okay, just generically speaking. All right. But the kids understand how important it is. Okay, per Jan. All right. And obviously that's I'll call it a teaching challenge. Okay. The kids are interested, yet we're boring them somehow, if I may. That's why it's important we bring all these people together, all these groups together, so that it creates an interest based on what the kids are interested in. I think that's really interesting. Would you agree, Jan? Did I get that right?
Right. I think that's true. And, Larry, the other thing I would add to that is that also business and industry will be the beneficiary if all of this works. Those
Absolutely.
Children will live their lives as amazing adults. And so bringing them immediately into the conversation and having some responsibility in educating and being part of engaging these children is
right.
not only important for them, but it's important for that pathway, as Gerald mentioned, in enabling education to be part of an alignment with workforce. But on the ground, in actual operation, not just in PR, posters that go up or in special days of, a couple times a year. What are you doing every day of the week in your community to be part of what it takes to make this work as a system?
Hear, hear. Okay. And, it's funny. We used to moan and groan that the school did when I was growing up. The school districts were getting, they were geared to get everybody, quote, working at General Electric or General Motors or any other general you can think of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
And that's what it was geared for. All right. And then it stopped. People didn't like that. But we've come, it's not the same thing, but we've come full circle. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That, yes,
yeah.
The schools must understand what the workplace needs and teach to that. And not that we want to herd kids through a cattle gate or anything like that, okay? But we have to understand the needs of the workplace, and they have to be very involved in education. We're back again to a system, but in a world of a different workplace. It's really interesting. So, Gerald, let me ask you, okay, all this is great. What's the classroom impact that you're seeing from putting this all together properly, state by state, city by city, however you want to say it?
Sure. Well, it's multifold, as you might imagine. One,
oh, sure.
It gives educators and teachers some of the support that they otherwise can't get because of either resources or time or money. And it connects up, as Ron talked about, the out-of-school real-life experience that you can get in a science institution, in an after-school
mm-hmm.
program, in a youth development program that complements and augments the in-school classroom. So you get kids now who are saying to the teacher, I did this at the Boys and Girls Club, let's do more of it. Or the teacher says to the after-school provider, I taught an hour of this. Could you now show them how it relates to a real world? And that interconnectivity is really a value.
It really is. I'm just writing down here, it takes a village. We got to put all the things that they're learning together, okay, to have it all make sense. I mean, it's just that simple. As you talk to the workforce, and Ron, I'll ask you this, as you talk to the workforce, what are they saying to you about this, your STEM ecosystem?
Well, they're very excited about the possibility and about jumping in themselves for rethinking STEM learning on the ground. Linking in and out of school STEM experiences for kids. They desperately need to really expand the number of kids who are interested.
Yeah.
Our experience has been they really want to reach out to all segments of the population. Not just the kids whose parents, happen to be an engineer or a scientist.
Right.
Or,
good point.
A technician. They, and they know to do that is going to take a higher level of engagement and support than, has been provided in the past. So we're really seeing businesses, large, such as, the big corporations, but also, tech companies that are starting up and local companies
Nice.
In communities who are jumping in and really, whether it's employee engagement in volunteering in activities or, whether it's being part of the decision-making or steering group, we're seeing a lot of a high level of interest and engagement from business.
It's really, really excellent. They have to keep it up and more have to do it. Gerald. Okay, I'll ask you, since you're the executive director of Sam Welling Foundation, okay, let's just say Larry's a school district, the Larry School District, okay, and I'm listening to the show here, okay, when I call you or get in touch with you, what are the steps that happen? Let's say I'm the superintendent of Larry School District, which, by the way, I am. It's a very small district.
Sure. Well, the first thing we do is we try to get an understanding of your community. And that's really where Jan and her team comes into play. They have a stable of coaches and technical assistance providers who will work with the superintendent or the zoo or the after-school program, whoever makes contact, and ask questions that say, okay, so tell us about your community. Who's at the table? Who's not? What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? And then they help them design out through engineering design thinking processes how to put it all together.
Wow. Okay. So if I call you, and it doesn't matter if I'm the Philadelphia Zoo, the School District of Philadelphia, or a big company, Comcast, in Philadelphia, okay, then we whatever we do, Jan steps right in. Right, Jan? It starts there.
Yep. That's exactly
yep.
right. Yeah, you have to have the champion. You have to have somebody who raises the question and who knows enough to ask. Yep.
Are you guys soliciting the question? We're doing the show here. I hope a lot of people are listening. But are you guys soliciting school districts, et cetera, or businesses, or whatever the case may be, to make this happen? Gerald, I'll ask you.
Yeah, so what happens is we get, you know, we have a lot of notoriety thanks to, you know, the prior White House and a variety of other platforms. Pretty much those people in workforce and in education know of us. So we get more demand for involvement than we really have resources to manage.
Oh, that's good news.
Yeah. So what happens is, you know, there's always people. We have people, for example, now from Nairobi, Kenya, from Mexico City, from Puerto Rico, from Cairo, from Israel, et cetera, who are all contacting us to want to build out this architecture and this new framework on how education systems operate.
God, that is just wonderful. You're seeing it from all these countries of the world. Are you seeing it from all 48 states? I noticed, like, Mississippi and Alabama were missing on the map. Are they missing?
Yeah, we're seeing them from everywhere.
Actually, Mississippi, I think Jan is applying,
ready.
Right?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Good old Mississippi. Bless your heart.
Yeah, we're working
okay.
with Mississippi right now. Yep. And with Oxford, Alabama as well.
Excellent. Great news. And I want those to spread. I'm tired of those two states where a lot of people I love live there. Okay. And I've talked to educators down there. They're always number 49 and 50. I'm tired of it. Okay. Time to move up, guys. Okay, time to move up.
Okay.
All right, enough. Don't be happy being 49 and 50. I'm sick of it. You're sick of it, too. Move on up. It's unbelievable.
Right.
Okay? All good stuff. I hope we got the word out for you as well as we could. You're three. You deserve the Larry Medal of Honor. Sadly, there isn't one, but if there was, I would give it to you.
Well, thank you. That's wonderful. We appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate the work you're doing, and just keep it up. And the best place to go, let's make sure we got this, is stemecosystems.org. Stemecosystems.org, right?
Yes,
yep.
And they can
Correct.
Enter information, and we'll get back to them.
There you go. They will
we
get
will.
Back to you. These are good people. Okay? Thank you, Jan.
Thanks, Larry.
Thank you.
Thanks
well,
so
you're
much,
welcome.
Larry.
You're welcome, Jan. Jan Morrison, TIESteach.org. Ron, stemnext.org, thank you. And Gerald, always a pleasure, my friend.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. You take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You as well. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, well, California and Ohio speaks out. This is really good stuff. Stemecosystems.org. It takes a village. I'm not kidding. It really does. All right? And, you know, you get the workplace. This is my third show that brought this up this week, unexpectedly. So I'm telling you, it's really something that's very important. If you don't know how to start, get in touch, stemecosystems.org, to help you along. All right, we'll archive the show, education-talkradio.org, tweet it out at EduTalkRadio. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening, and thank you again, Claire LeBeau. Be awesome.